Welcome back to the first installment of Inside the Podcaster Studio with your hostesses, Tony and Paul. So sometimes what you want to do to get a really clean podcast recording is eliminate all the ambient sounds you can. One of those is Paul's fridge, which is a real chatty Cathy, if you ask me.
It's true. I've gotten pretty good at flipping the switch on my circuit breaker to turn it off. But one of these days, I'm going to forget to turn it back on when we're done. And all my food's going to go bad.
Oh, it's going to be stinky, but you'll never hear it. But you'll have a great sounding podcast here with the Obsessives on Hometown Sounds.
Baby, I can't remember the last time I pleased you. Baby, can you
Hometown Sounds. There's this thing we do. We show you how DC. What is that thing we do, Paul?
How they roll? Is that right?
Whoa! Come on, try it again.
DC rocks.
Oh my God, you got it. You're making my day, man.
That was Surfer Rosa, new song by the Obsessives. It's the first single from the sophomore album by that emo duo made up of, let's see if I can get this name even remotely right, Nick Baryachny on guitar and vocals, and Jackson Mansfield on drums.
It's all about how hard you try, and I think you gave it your all, man.
That's true. This album came out on Lamo Records back in March. It is a $5 download on their Bandcamp.
It's really called Lamo Records.
I swear to God, dude.
That's really cool.
With the big O, L-A-M-E dash capital O. We watched the music video for this song a little while ago.
That was lots of fun.
It's so much fun.
Because it took Choose Your Own Adventure novels.
And video games.
And video games and Microsoft Paint and put it into video editing or something, you know, something like that.
It's kind of perfect.
It was really perfect. Yes. Also, like, my goodness, the contrast between just the smoothness of that song and the abrasiveness of the album that it name checks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's neither like the Where Is My Mind or Gigantic. Nah, that was a real smooth jam.
Yeah, exactly.
About listening to an album that is not about that in terms of the listening experience.
Right.
All.
In case that your knowledge of indie rock is not as encyclopedic as some,
I went a little oops there.
That is referencing the debut 1988 album by the Pixies. And in case you have never heard that album before, now you have your homework for the week. The Obsessives are currently out on tour. They're going really far and wide, but they will be back here on Tuesday, June 13th at the Rock and Roll Hotel opening for Sorority Noise. I got to be honest with you, like this whole emo thing, that style, like this very 90s, I like it, but I don't know it. And there's all these bands and I've never heard of any of these bands. And it just seems like a whole other world.
I mean, I wouldn't even call that emo.
Mm.
That was pretty just kind of, yeah, call it indie rock, kind of indie rock adjacent. I've been all about the word adjacent. I've been using it for like everything to say like something kind of not too far from that.
That makes sense.
But anyway, in terms of another item that I'm not too far of are the headphones I'm wearing.
Uh-huh.
And I've had these headphones that I'm wearing, these Beyer DT220s. Who cares? It's the product name. Like, I'm not trying to sound like a super gear elitist. But since 2003, it's 2017.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And yeah, they're nice studio over-the-ear headphones. And I remember I was going to college. I was moving in. It was my first day of college, like, you know, doing the whole move into college thing. And, you know, I thought, like, it was possible that maybe I'd need some headphones on the ride up, you know, and I had them with me to plug into my iPod and I was going to play that Canon game or like maybe I was going to swap back to that music selection game where you'd be like, oh, can you like name the song of yours that it's playing within 3 seconds?
Oh,
kind of
yeah,
game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we get into the car and my uncle is driving, you know, he's very graciously agreed to, you know, lend his pickup truck for a, you know, college move in.
Yep.
And he proceeds to spill a very substantial amount of coffee onto and into the left ear of these headphones.
Oh, God.
And I was, oh, no. Oh, no. And he said, you know, I'll buy you another pair if they don't work out.
Yeah, they probably cost like $20, right?
Well, they turned out to be perfect.
Yeah.
And they've been fantastic ever since. And they've since proceeded to break like a little more, but not in terms of the sound quality. Now, like the plastic's all busted and they don't fit on the mounts anymore. And I'm like, I don't feel like that's quite justifying to spend more money on a new pair of headphones. So, I mean, it's sort of like, my headphones are broken, but not because someone spilled a cup of coffee into them. So these are the things on my mind as we, you know, record this week's episode of Hometown Sounds. What's on your mind, Paul?
What's on my mind is the next song that we have. This is a new song by the Dusk Whales.
Oh, that was a great segue.
When Mother Nature saw goes by and you couldn't take it. Another sign, come on, we can make it. Good times that we are gonna have. Good times that a lot brought us to here. Good times that we are gonna have. Good times that a lot brought us to here. Good times are gonna have. Another trick, another trade.
Dusk Whales with a track called Good Times. And hey, Dusk Whales, this is a compliment. You did everything I wanted on the second MGMT album that they never did. Like, no, you got similar vocal registers. They had all the blurpy synths and it was kind of like the big beats. But nah, you were just like, nah, let's go Elvis Costello.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real great. Like, props. And that's why you're on this show.
Totally. That is the leadoff track from the Dusk Whales' second full-length album, Sorrowful Mysteries. It is a pay-what-you-want download on their Bandcamp. They have had a handful of singles since their debut album came out back in August of 2014. I like the kind of 60s influence they have there as well, from like the Beatles and the Doors and stuff like that. Also, there is a secret theme to this episode, which you may not have figured out yet, even though worked on planning the thing out.
You put two songs in. You can't really establish a theme, I would say, with two data points.
Right, but there's two more coming that are going to fit with it, and that is sophomore albums.
Oh.
Yes. There's a lot of sophomore albums today, which is just strange that that's how it is working out. The Dusk Whales are currently like on tour like crazy through the Northeast, but your next chance to see them here in this town is going to be on Wednesday, May 24th at Gypsy Sally's, opening for King Washington.
Cool. So, Paul, we had a show on Easter at the Kennedy Center that we put on as part of our monthly showcase at the Millennium Stage.
Yes, indeed.
At the Kennedy Center. I just want to say that we're at the Kennedy Center one
so
more time.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just making a joke about making a big thing about it.
Yep.
But this just reminded me, I mean, I was just thinking about, you know, our experiences and my experiences thus far of introducing bands. Are you familiar with the stand-up comic by the name of Pete Holmes?
No.
It's okay. He kind of does a similar thing to Mike Birbiglia, where he's kind of doofy little bit.
All right.
And I'm a big fan of that. I think that it's very relatable to the likes of me. But he, on his HBO show, Crashing, in which it's kind of like semi-autobiographical, he gets a gig being sort of the introductory act to Rachel Ray's cooking show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel when we do our shows at the Kennedy Center.
Yep.
Where he warms up the crowd. But in this one episode, he just totally screws up and ends up asking an audience member a very inappropriate question. And it just makes me feel like how I fear doing the exact same thing. You know, something will happen and you'll just kind of have to go off the rails and just wing it a little bit. But in terms of things that I don't ever want to happen, I was around someone today and I was setting up and taking down mic stands, and there were some other guests in the room, and I was kind of doing the mic stand, you know, swivel thing where you just kind of spin it around.
Right.
And then sometimes I think about it and about how I fear that I'm going to spin the base of the mic stand and it's going to fly off and hit someone in the head.
I'm sure that has happened.
I'm sure it has too.
Oh, God.
But it seems like something that's ripe to happen to me. But that's where I'm at with that and mic stands. And being an either effective or less effective warmer-upper.
I think we do a pretty good job. And then the band comes on and they're awesome and they're so happy to be there. So then it's like, it doesn't even matter.
Well, and actually what happened to me last time that kind of threw me off was I was in the middle of my bit. And then I got some cheers about like who I'd just introduced, which was Olivia Mancini. And then I said to the crowd, like, yes, do that. Clap for her. And then I just completely forgot everything else that I wanted to say because I was just like, it's the audience. You're supposed to interact with the audience.
Oh, man. And you could totally go back and watch that moment happen as it happened on the YouTube page for the Millennium Stage. They put all of the shows up online and you can watch them all.
Over and over again.
Exactly. Yeah.
I haven't watched it at all.
We might need to do that. We might have some homework to do. But let's hear some more music. Tony, do you know who we have next? Do you even know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
All right, good.
Dramatic pause.
Yes.
It's near Northeast.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was a song called In Dolly from the long-awaited sophomore album by Near Northeast. They're an indie folk band that have been around for quite a while. We played a song from their first album, Curios, like a good couple years ago. It was fantastic. Their new album is going to be called True Mirror. It comes out on May 5th through Etchy Records, which is spelled E-T-X-E, and I looked up how to pronounce it because it's a weird word, but it's awesome. That is a record label run by members of Girl Loves Distortion. They have also put out albums by The Red Fetish and Teething Veils, both of which we have featured on this podcast.
I love that label. They have really great stuff all around.
And, you know, it was kind of a surprise for me when I found out that they had Near Northeast. I thought, oh, that's an interesting... I wouldn't have put those bands together, but now that I've heard it, it does make sense.
I'm less surprised, but, you know, you just got to work through it all.
Yeah, exactly. The album is coming out on CD and digital, and they're also doing another thing that's interesting. They made kind of a companion release called In Dolly Variations, which has that single we just played and a big, long, like 24-minute version song riffing on In Dolly, and that is coming out on cassette and digital, and both are going to be available at the release show for those, and that is on Friday, May 5th at St. Stephen and the Incarnation Episcopal Church, which is well known for hosting a lot of cool shows. Tickets are only $10, and $1 from each ticket goes to St. Stephen's programs to feed the needy. The show also features Richmond band Lobo Marino and Indian classical music on sarod and tabla. A strange little factoid here. The band, which is originally comprised of Avi Malik, Kelly Cervic, and Austin Blanton, they originally formed after accidentally meeting while backing an Indian classical singer and dancer at a performance at the Kennedy Center's Millennium Stage back in 2013. And they've since added Antonio Scarica on drums.
I'm very into all that news.
It's a big info dump there for you.
It is. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome. There's also a music video for that song that will be coming out the week that this podcast comes out. And you can bet that I will be writing up a feature about it on the Hometown Sounds music video blog.
Not gonna try to short that bet, Paul.
Don't do it, man.
I learned about what it means, like The Big Short. I watched it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I was at a bar restaurant kind of event this past weekend, and there was really kind of a lot of funny stuff that happened to me there. One of those was I was sort of up front, sort of crowded towards the front, and this one dude just kind of busted through, kind of just sort of leaping towards the bar, and he just kind of yelled, "Yo, can I get a napkin? I just spilled a drink on a girl." And I was just like, "Oh yeah, priority, yeah. Priority. Yo, let the man through." Next. This was within moments of that happening.
Okay.
In which I am standing in front of the bar, just sort of have my shoulders and sort of just, I'm sort of leaning on the bar.
Yeah.
And I felt something against my waist area.
Okay.
And there was a girl next to me, and we were just sort of making casual eye contact as two people mm-hmm. at a bar.
Yeah.
Sort of might. And I was like, I don't really quite know what I'm feeling right now. Is this girl feeling me up?
Oh.
And I looked down, and that was not what was going on. Her purse was just brushing up against me.
Right. And you know that, but she has no idea.
Yep. Because she did not take her purse off of her shoulder and place it on what I call the lady hooks.
Yep.
Which are the purse hooks or whatever. You can put whatever you want there. Like, put a jacket or whatever.
Right.
It's just... I think it's a really interesting, you know, implement to include in bars where you have a little hook to place incidentals.
Yes.
I guess.
That is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at a show at the 9:30 Club a few days ago, and I got there before the opening act started, and I got right up front, like, you know, 3-4 people from the front, so I could get a really good view of photos and whatnot. And when the headliner came on, a couple of girls muscled their way up to the front area. And this one girl, she didn't mean to rub up all against me in that way, but she just had nowhere else to be.
Sure.
And decided
to
invade my personal space.
I don't even know if she decided to. Like, no, you just get kind of crunched sometimes.
You know, when it goes on for like 3 or 4 songs, and it's like at that point, she is committed to being in this space, which I previously kind of had claimed for myself. I was not happy about it. So I kind of eventually decided that my enjoyment of the show was more important than my being right about that this was my space.
So what'd you do?
I shuffled over to the side a little bit. And everybody was fine at that point, but I was like there was a good few songs where I was like, okay, are you moving here? Is this happening? Okay. Very passive aggressive on my part, I understand, but I wanted to enjoy the show.
No, I hear that. Well, and the thing is I've been in the offending position before.
Yeah.
Where I have been so excited to see a band play a show.
Yep.
And I think about this time I saw Andrew Bird at the 930 Club. I guess this was maybe 2009.
Yep.
And I was like all up front, like second row,
right,
just jumping and singing along. And there was this guy right in front of me, and like a few songs in, and he turned around and said, "I came to see the show, not to hear you sing." And it's okay. I get it. And I, you know, adjusted my behavior accordingly. So that's okay. Like, I hear you.
Yeah.
One last anecdote from that bar restaurant event I was at.
Yeah.
And that was, there was a DJ booth up towards one of the ends. And, you know, DJ doing his thing, bringing out the crazy good vibes.
Good.
One track that he spun was the strangest remix of Other Side by the Red Hot Chili Peppers I've ever heard.
Yeah.
There were bongos.
Yeah.
There was Kenny G sax.
Whoa.
There was sitar.
Uh-huh.
And hand claps.
Sure.
The remix name I slapped on this in my head was Other Side Parens. Wind Jammer remix. Close parens.
Good.
But you know, those were three of my favorite things that happened to me that night that made me think that these are kind of funny, and maybe other people think that I'm kind of funny. And I think that's actually a pretty narcissistic way to approach life. So why don't we play another track?
Well, I have another track for you right here.
Boom, and let's do it.
It's by Kaz Gardner.
Oh, Kaz Gardner, cool.
Thank you.
That was It's Gonna Be All Right, the first song from the sophomore solo album by singer Kaz Gardner. Kaz has sung with a lot of ska bands in her day, with like The Ambitions, Kaz and the Day Laborers, and back in the 90s heyday of ska, which was my like glory time loving that kind of music. She was sang in a band called The Checkered Cabs. It was great. Parts of this album were recorded in Buenos Aires, Argentina back in 2015, and the rest from January 2016 by our friend Sean Russell over at Q Recording Studios.
What's up, bro?
How you doing, Sean? He listens to the show.
Shout outs.
Yeah, so this album includes 10 tracks and also 4 dub versions, which I explained to Tony earlier when he was asking about that. It's a thing from reggae music from back in, you know, its origins in Jamaica, that these producers like King Tubby and Lee Scratch Perry would make the regular reggae version with the vocals and the chorus and the verses, and then they would make a dub version which took away most of the vocals and made things kind of spacier and darker and a lot more bass and whatnot, that you would be good for sound systems, like they would do with like mobile music installations. And it's, you know, it's a facet of that kind of Jamaican music which has persisted to this day, which is really cool. And it's different than dubstep. Totally different than that. I mean, you know, some people could maybe draw some relations to it, but really dubstep, completely different thing.
Man, filling me in.
Yeah.
So what's really fun for me to have this song from Kaz Gardner on our show today is that I remember when I started listening to the podcast back in 2012.
Oh my God.
Yep. Here we go. It's cool. It's cool. This is your life, Paul.
Alrighty. Woo!
But in that year of December, yeah. December 2012,
okay.
You threw an event.
That's right.
Yeah. And a band I was playing and performed at that event.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a playlist of music
queued up.
And you had a track on that playlist from Kaz and the Day Laborers.
Yeah.
That was played at that event.
Right.
That was also played on an adjacent, I'm just going to use that word
there
again.
There you go.
It's a theme. Episode of Hometown Sounds of the Hometown Sounds podcast.
Nice.
And I remember just vibing into that song, being like, that's cool. I'm cool to hear that song again.
Yeah.
And I actually think I heard it twice that night. Just because, like, you just got to spin the playlist again. You got stuff to do. You know?
Yep.
So it is great that Kaz is still around.
Love it.
And it's great that you and I are still around. And, like, we just
playing songs by Kaz.
Yep.
Yep.
Together.
Yes,
forever.
Indeed.
Forever.
Speaking of, let's keep it going. Let's play another song.
Going.
Who do we got next, Tony?
Next, it's Aerospace.
Line with a nostril to the black and a backup stairs in a room with the day of her birth, and I'm losing it. I wonder if her love is as serious as this music is. I wonder if these drugs are as blood as their blade in her tissue, cause I lied trying to find God, burning in my hours since I couldn't leave my job, but I did. I couldn't stand dreaming, I couldn't stand hurt where my knee hit, frankly, by that same orange ave where the holly hit that wood and that truck that hit the drag bump and clear soul forces. I was trying to lose weight, I was trying to get home cause my girl was gonna skate, but she wasn't my girl. This wasn't my world. I did not listen, I did not fix it. Take one swing, the batter still misses. Lateral, I'm laddering the lather up the ladder, holding chatter, this distracted disasters in this bottle. Horror coast ahead of a vest with full throttle, crawling through the feeling, the mirrors of a model. The ceiling in her basement that she's seeing as he's skeeting, and he's deep without a condom. Problem awesome, come alone and solve them. From Austin to Boston, DC to Compton, nonsense is bombing, pressure in the canister, all within my Acura, accurate, the vandalist, the magi, answer is death. Do you ever dream that you can breathe without regrets? Do you ever sleep whenever sleep ain't leaving rest? Do you ever speak whenever speech is feeling stressed? Need to hold my chest, fuck it, here's the knife, I'll gouge it out myself, cut it through the bone in my rib cage, the skins, I give you my heart. I really wanna die and everybody's in the dark, the sadness of the ark, the covenant we start. It always falls apart.
Why do we always fall apart?
Are we inside of the volcano?
Yeah, I did. I yawned myself to shit. Why?
Why? Because, like any other writer, there's no pace, there's no quickness in his lines. There's no life, there's no sunlight. When you write, your words must go like this. Bim, bim, bim. Bim, bim, bim. Bim, bim, bim. Bim, bim, bim.
Ever since my mom died, shit's just been different on the bright side. I guess I'm still living to the outsider, speaking through a one-way glass with a dampen on the wall, so perception is a see, not hear. So the weak, not feared, and it's lean, not fear. Klonopin and Adderall, adding in the negative. Subtract, you get the tally up. 6 deaths in 2 years, no home in 25. No bread, I'm Pennywise, minimized. Too black, I'm vilified. Cinema, Gorilla Glue can't fix it. These mind tricks ain't misfit. That bitch can just get this impact. Colossal, the comic, corrupting the clustered emotional bullet you ever fronted. The tongue in his pistol, been bumping the gums. I'm still piercing his mullet. Tied to the stars, you can tug the sun up over the summit.
Own feeling, its own juice, its own flavor. Writing must never be boring. It must not bore the reader, the writer. It must not bore anybody. You have to have juice in each line, don't you see? You don't believe me, but I'm trying to tell you. I get so... Writers put me to sleep. They always did. They always will. Each line must be an entity unto itself. But it must carry its own, like a voltage juice. You can't say, Mrs. McGillicuddy was sitting in her chair. It was 3:30 p.m. on a southern morning in Georgia. Mr. McGillicuddy was... This is all... It's already dead, you see. You must say... The thing.
But he died from alcohol. You're not afraid of...
Oh, you think of Faulkner? He was one of the worst practitioners.
Of course, but now I'm talking about Lowry. He died from alcohol. You're not afraid
Lowry.
Of...
Oh, yeah. Well, it's nice to die of alcoholism. It's very glorious.
I really feel like y'all should just save this episode for Memorial Day, cookout season, 4th of July, because that's what we got going for you. Mood, the music.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. That was Dusk, a new single from Aerospace. And if you were wondering what those interview samples were that sprinkled throughout and finished that up, that was an interview with Charles Bukowski.
Really?
Also known as the laureate of American lowlife.
Oh, that is so cool. Actually, I had an inquiry from my future stepson, Jack, about who Charles Bukowski was. And I said he was someone who was really funny, who had low self-esteem.
That's a gross oversimplification, but that's right.
Yeah.
So Aerospace's rapper Anthony Alexander, he also plays drums in a heavy metal band from Upper Marlboro called Louder Than Quiet.
Wow.
Yeah, you would not have expected that, really.
Not in the least.
No, he's had some great buzz recently. He played South by Southwest, did some interviews there. He also was part of a Brooklyn event called Cypher, which was put on by Resonator. It pairs MCs with a live band. Louder Than Quiet also recently played the influential Afro Punk Festival. That single is produced by Young Taylor. It is available on Aerospace's Bandcamp page for the album that's called Nocturne. It is a Name Your Price pre-order that comes out on July 25th. Also, all the lyrics are up there, which is pretty darn cool.
That's pretty darn cool. Speaking of things that are pretty darn cool, while I was out this past Friday night thinking I was being felt up at the bar, I looked at my Twitter, and I just have to give some props to NPR Music for the news items that they created based on some opportunities, in which Lars Gotrich of NPR Music tweeted that Bob Boylan has somehow never heard All Star by Smash Mouth.
Oh my God, what?
And the quote of Bob Boylan was, "I hate everything about this." A short while, like another 10 minutes later, Lars Gotrich then tweeted, "We are now playing Smooth for Bob Boylan. It's going to be a hot one." So I don't know how that's actually possible that he could have missed those songs. But I do have to give them credit for creating the news item that needed to happen at some point.
I thought that was... I think it'd be funny to tie Bob Boylan down and make him listen to all the terrible music he managed to avoid.
And what if he was forced to listen to them in the quantities that we all heard them over the course of that year and a half?
Yeah.
So you just lock him in a room for about a month, and then he has to listen to all those songs on repeat over and over.
I feel like that would ruin him.
I'd do something.
Yep. And that almost takes us to the end of this episode of the Hometown Sounds podcast. So we want to remind you to subscribe to it. Get yourself a fine, shiny new podcast app. We like Overcast over here at Hometown Sounds.
I do like Overcast.
It's a really good app. There's a bunch of other ones that are really good. Downcast out there, Pocket Cast. We also upload it to SoundCloud. If you are like a SoundCloud junkie, some people I've known have been SoundCloud junkies. And you can also, you know, stream it on the website if that's what you really want to do. The website is hometownsoundsdc.com. We play music videos. We do all sorts of great stuff there. We're on social media too, of course. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram is at Hometown Sounds.
R.I.P. Vine.
I miss Vine.
Vine was great. Yes, it was impossible to monetize. Like, how do you put an ad in inside of a 6-second video?
Yeah. I mean, some people managed to do it, but they were really, really good. I never managed to do that. I just made vines of drummers.
Or those vines that would take, you remember when I was at 930 Club and it took a vine of you from like,
yeah,
and I was just creeping on you? I'm thinking back to these times when Paul and I weren't as close and I was just a little creepier.
Yes. Those are the good days.
The email address. Those are the good days. Oh, the claws come out.
That's right.
Keep it going, Paul.
The email address is dj@hometownsoundsdc.com. So drop us a line, let you know what you think about our goofy podcast. But really, the important thing is to support all the musicians you've heard on this podcast by buying their music
and seeing them play live
all around town. Like, for example, the last band that we're playing on this podcast is a band called Aztec Sun. Their newest single is called The Struggle. It's available for $1 on their Bandcamp page, and they are going to be playing at the 4th annual Funk Parade, which is going down on Saturday, May 6th, along with about 150 other bands. It is kind of ridiculous. Some of the bands include Backyard Band, Cinquain, Sun Ra Orchestra, UCB, Aaron Abernathy. Remember that guy?
Hey!
Yeah, we like that guy.
Kennedy Center, Hometown Sounds alum.
That's
boom.
Right.
Let's
yeah.
just plug it all.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The poster that they put out is just insane with like tiny little font at the bottom because they have so many bands. Here's how this thing works in case you've never been. The thing starts at about noon on Saturday. The outside part goes until 7. There's a parade from 3 to 4. You can bet your ass that Batala is going to be involved because anytime there's sort of funk and parade, Batala is there. There's outdoor stages. There's tons of music to see. And then from 7 to 10, there's a bunch of venues in the U Street area that have free shows.
Yeah, is DC9 doing that again this year?
I don't know. They haven't really announced the lineup as we're recording this yet. They've announced the bands, but not how it's all going to fit together. So you got some work to do if you're the type who wants to plan this out, because there's a lot going on at once. And if you want to see this band, you want to see this band, you want to see this band, you're going to have to plan it out. Or you can do what other people do, which is not me, which is just show up and wing it and have a good time. And you're probably going to have a really good time anyway, because there's a lot going on. There's so much great music. It's a lot of fun. I do highly recommend checking it out. There is a 64-song SoundCloud playlist to get you started. And so hunt that down. It is very, very long. And you will definitely get a flavor of who to see. It's a really fun event. We're really happy that they're doing it. It's kind of, think of it as like the U Street Funk Fest. That's kind of how I like to think of it. Lots of great stuff going on. And if you come out, maybe look for us. You might see me there. Maybe I'll wear a Hometown Sound shirt. Would that be cool? Would that be lame?
That'd be so cool.
All right, cool. I never know when to wear it, when to not wear it.
When in doubt, just wear it.
All right. But thanks, everybody, for listening to this great episode of the DC Music Podcast. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Paul.
And we will see you next time.
Boom.
child. And when I get home, it's like no one's there. 'Cause all she ever has to say, yeah, is flip her damn hair. Oh, I break my back all day working for the man. And then I'm on my knees all night trying to understand. I break my back all day, working for the man.